Hey, Leading Learning listener, if you represent a membership organization looking for ways to expand your online course catalog rapidly with high-quality content, we have good news.
At leadinglearning.com/AMA, you can find out how to make online training from the American Management Association available to your learners.
Through a partnership between AMA and Tagoras, the parent company of Leading Learning, you can give your learners access to more than 70 e-learning modules covering essential business topics ranging from leading and innovating to managing projects effectively to working in hybrid teams.
For details on how to grow your catalog with courses from a true global leader in management training, visit leadinglearning.com/AMA.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 50 of the Leading Learning Podcast. In this episode, Jeff and I are going to take a look at three important emerging technologies that we think are really impacting the learning landscape, specifically the Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, and virtual reality. Before we do that, though, we want to be sure to highlight our annual Leading Learning Symposium. This is an event designed specifically for senior leaders at organizations in the business of lifelong learning, continuing education, and professional development. The symposium takes place this year on October 24th and 25th in Baltimore, and we have a great group of folks coming together for this already, folks who are really interested in increasing the reach, revenue, and impact of what they have to offer. To find out about the symposium and to see great things that last year's attendees had to say about it, you can visit symposium.leadinglearning.com. We'd also like to thank Naylor Learning Solutions, powered by Blue Sky eLearn, for being the sponsor for this episode of the Leading Learning Podcast. And you can find out more about Naylor Learning Solutions at naylor.com/learning-solutions. So Jeff, maybe what we should do is just start things off by talking a little bit about what we mean by the Internet of Things and virtual reality and artificial intelligence.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first of all, I mean, these are three areas that have been, I guess, trending for a while now. Seem to be picking up a lot more steam recently, particularly artificial intelligence and virtual reality, though I also think the Internet of Things is, you know, really insinuating itself into our lives more than each of us realize. And, you know, we've been thinking for quite a while now that these things are going to have a significant impact for any organization that's in the business of lifelong learning, continuing education, and professional development. In fact, we did a session on this. You delivered a content pod on this at Learning Technology Design, our spring event, and wrote a blog post after that. But we've been mulling it over and just really feel like this is something we should focus in on. So, like you said, let's talk a little bit initially about, you know, what these three things are. The first one that we're going to raise is the Internet of Things. You know, and this is sort of the lighthearted view on it. This is your refrigerator talking to you. You know, all the things in your house connected up to the internet. You know, so all sorts of appliances, your wearable devices. You know, basically everything that could have software in it or can communicate some sort of data or information over a network, being hooked into the internet. And, you know, ultimately the Internet of Things is going to represent a learning network. I mean, it creates an environment around us that's capable of creating and processing massive amounts of data, and data is at the core of everything that we're talking about here. It certainly contributes to the next item we want to talk about, which is artificial intelligence.
Right, and so by artificial intelligence, we really mean the ability of machines or software to acquire and then begin to apply knowledge and skills. So basically, their ability to learn, the ability of machines to learn. So that artificial intelligence, that's what we have in mind when we think about that term.
Right. And then, you know, the next one we want to talk about, the third one we want to talk about in this episode is virtual reality. And virtual reality is one of those things that's been around for quite a while now in one form or another. Most of the forms in the past have been pretty clunky when it comes, you know, right down to it, and involved, you know, wearing heavy suits to try to simulate a situation. Or, you know, on the web, folks may remember Second Life, sort of the virtual world that created a lot of waves several years years ago, but never really took off. But that is changing. Virtual reality is becoming, in fact, a reality. It is becoming much more affordable, much, much better. In fact, we'll talk about some examples of that. And again, it's something that is going to open up new possibilities for how people learn and how effectively they're able to learn. So Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, you know, all topics that we want to tackle in this episode. But maybe, you know, before we start getting into the specifics of what each of those can mean for learning, let's talk a little bit about, you know, why. All of these things have been around for a while now, in one form or another. They sort of had waves up and down in terms of the hype and the actual science available around them. But you know, we're at a tipping point now. At least we both believe we're at a tipping point, and these are going to become a permanent part of our culture and a permanent part of the learning landscape. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, why that is, so that everybody understands why this is important right now.
Yeah, so some of the changes that are driving the fact that these, what used to seem like really future-ish type thinking, to really make them part of today's landscape. I mean, we have just an amazing increase in hardware processing power and an amazing increase in bandwidth. And I think those two things alone have done a lot to really push these things forward. You can have very small devices that are capable of processing a lot of power, and then you have the bandwidth that can allow those devices to connect to the internet, to have the internet send and receive signals back and forth and connect these devices in a fairly quick and seamless manner.
And I think, you know, people are fond of saying, I'm not sure exactly how true this is, but that the, you know, the computers that we all now carry around in our pockets or our pocketbooks or whatever are more powerful than the ones that, you know, put people on the moon decades ago. I don't know if that's exactly true, but nonetheless, we have very, very powerful computers that we're all carrying around right now. We're also now, you know, generating, and because of the hardware and because of the bandwidth, able to send and process massive amounts of data. And particularly when you're trying to create a virtual reality environment, when you're trying to create an artificial intelligence that's really going to be able to learn and have the basis for the knowledge that it's developing, you have to have massive amounts of data. I mean, think about how much data our own brains process just to be able to perceive things and imagine things and touch things. We're now starting to have those volumes of data being generated. The Internet of Things is, you know, something that's contributing to that data, but all of our activity, you know, on the internet, on the web, day in and day out, with all of the different devices that we use, is providing just this tremendous foundation on which to build these technologies that we're talking about here.
And in fact, that volume of data would be overwhelming, can be overwhelming, were it not for algorithms. I mean, so really we're developing too these ways of taking that data and looking at it, looking for patterns, shaping it. And so we've gotten better and better at those types of algorithms. And I think that's another key to why these technologies have taken off.
Yeah, and this is an area that really blows my mind. I mean, I was an okay math person, but when you get into, you know, the level of logic and thinking that drives the types of algorithms that can actually learn, you know, they run through processes, but then can improve based upon what they learn in those processes, that kind of blows my mind. But there are people out there definitely who know how to do this. And if that's a topic you're interested in relative to this, I'll also say I've been reading a great book lately called The Master Algorithm, and the subtitle is How the Quest for the Ultimate Learning Machine Will Remake Our World. And it's by Pedro Domingos, who's a professor, I believe, at the University of Washington, if I'm remembering correctly. But he's been very involved in the whole machine learning and artificial intelligence revolution. And he walks through, you know, the different schools of thought around these algorithms, how they're getting developed, what they're good for. And as you can imagine, there are a lot of competing ideas out there right now, but it's also just a really, really productive ferment that's moving forward very rapidly.
And so we have this, you know, more data, better algorithms, we have the greater processing power, we have greater access to bandwidth. And so all of that has also led to more money being invested in these areas.
Yeah. Your average venture capitalist right now is very interested in all three of these areas. And companies are investing a lot in these areas. I mean, Facebook is putting a ton of money into artificial intelligence. They bought Oculus Rift, which is one of the main virtual reality devices that's available out there right now. Google investing in artificial intelligence very heavily. In fact, they've always considered themselves more of an artificial intelligence company than a search company. And they, too, are doing things with virtual reality. In fact, maybe we can talk about Google Glass glass here in a little bit and our experiences with that. IBM with its Watson initiative. I mean, some people are saying, a lot of people are saying that, you know, the future of IBM really is in Watson and is in what they're doing with artificial intelligence. And so a lot of capital flowing into this. And then also businesses that are able now to actually access and license different types of artificial intelligence and different tools that they can then build off of without necessarily having to have, you know, the team of programmers and scientists that an IBM has. So that's opening up other financial possibilities around these as well. And that's going to help to fuel growth. And then, of course, you know, as all of that is happening, this is becoming a very interesting area to work in. I mean, it's already been an interesting area to work in for years. And so talent is really pouring into this. You're seeing new jobs created. You're seeing, you know, the best and brightest really focused on this. So I think we're just having a convergence of forces around these technologies that are going to make them a very important and very permanent part of the landscape. And we already see plenty of examples out there of how all of these have come into the workplace, how they're changing, you know, the whole job landscape and how they're changing learning overall. So, for example, you know, you look at the field of manufacturing. I mean, any number of manufacturing jobs at this point are making use of robotics, which are being driven by different types of algorithms, artificial intelligence. You know, if you're in any sort of job that involves, like, you know, surveillance or security, the Internet of Things, you know, again, is going to be coming into play there. It's so easy now to do that surveillance, to do that security work remotely or on an automated basis because of what machines are making available. It's becoming a huge thing in the world of marketing and sales. Salesforce is very focused on artificial intelligence, for example, because, you know, you can now assess a market with all the data that's available to a degree that was just never possible, even with a huge team of analysts in the past. So if you're an analyst, a research analyst in any field at this point, you know, you need to be looking over your shoulder for what's possible. And the list goes on and on. I mean, you think about what drones are potentially going to be doing. You think about self-driving cars. I mean, all of this stuff is driven by artificial intelligence. Basically, if you can reduce a job or a task down to any sort of predictable, repeatable process, it can be done by a machine. And then we're even moving beyond that, where it doesn't have to be as predictable. The machine can actually learn and adapt. And that's where we're going with all of these things.
Right. And I think an interesting thing to note, too, is not only can it be done by a machine, arguably it can be done better by a machine. I mean, that's the whole premise behind the self-driving car, for example, right? It's going to be that much more safe and secure than having humans behind the wheel.
Yeah, and that leads into why all of this matters so much. If you're an organization that's focused on facilitating, supporting, delivering learning of any sort in any field or industry, you need to be looking at what the impact of these technologies potentially can be, and then figuring out how you're going to adjust and adapt to the changes that are being created as your organization moves forward.
Right. So, for example, I mean, these technologies are going to impact what we need to learn. They're going to impact the jobs that humans are needed to fill, because there's the potential for more and more machines, more and more artificial intelligence to take over a lot of what we've done. So I think it's going to put a real emphasis on this meta skill of collaborating with machines to learn, and it's going to make that even more important than it has been. And that, you know, arguably it's important now, right? I mean, you know, just a simple ability to use search effectively, you know, so that you can go out there and Google things and find the right information. That's sort of the first step in that direction now. And I think that level of being comfortable with using machines to fulfill our jobs is just going to grow and grow.
Yeah, that question of just what is going to be really important. If you're somebody who's actually trying to put together a catalog or, you know, learning experiences, your programming, whatever it is, that could change now, because some jobs are going to be replaced. Almost all jobs are, you know, going to, as you said, you know, be in a position where you're going to need to be able to really leverage what machines are able to provide. So, you know, you'll be able to enhance certain jobs based on what machine learning or artificial intelligence or virtual reality can do. But making sure that you're actually providing the programming that either A, if it is a totally, you know, new job that's going to have to be created in your industry, that you're providing the knowledge and skills for that, or if people are going to have to learn to work in a fundamentally different way because some of the things that they used to do as a matter of course in their job are now being done by machines, you know, how then do they collaborate effectively with machines going forward in whatever field or industry they're in? And there's a good study we'll link to on this from McKinsey. They try to make it just fairly digestible, you know, where machines are going to be able to potentially replace humans and where they're probably not going to be able to at any point in the near future. And they actually go through the Department of Labor's statistics for different jobs and come up with, you know, kind of percentages on how replaceable they think a particular job area is versus not replaceable. And we'll link to that study in the show notes for this episode.
Well, great. And I think then another thing is that these technologies, you know, if you're thinking about the Internet of Things and virtual reality and artificial intelligence, what I find most fascinating is that while they feel like these very kind of, you know, future-ish types of technologies, they really, to my mind, get back to some of our most desired goals for learning anyway. So, you know, it makes possible just-in-time learning that you can deliver right at the point of need, that just becomes that much more of a reality. I mean, if you have these things that are connected to the internet that are maybe getting, you know, data from your body, from your environment, and can help you do things with those, it can provide you with triggers that then let you know what you need to be doing in the moment. I think it also ties into personalized learning, because if you don't actually have to have kind of the one-on-one, the tutor right there with the student or the mentee kind of going through it and saying, this is what you should be focusing on. If you can get that if you can get the artificial intelligence there that's really kind of doing that work in the background, you really can personalize that learning. And then, you know, all of this allows you to just make that learning that much more important, to really focus it on those higher levels of learning, you know, the synthesis and the evaluation, the higher levels of Bloom's taxonomy, which I think also ties back to that point of when you look at what is likely to be replaced in careers, it's going to be some of those, you know, jobs that focus around some of the lower levels of learning. And so if we can focus higher, which all of these technologies make possible, I think it's going to be potentially the chance for us really to deliver on some of these holy grails that we've been after for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really exciting just, you know, how far we're now going to be able to go. But again, this means, you know, that that learners have to be brought along helped to embrace these new technologies in productive ways. And I think that's another role for organizations that are in the business of lifelong learning. There's a great video that we'll reference here that Peter Diamandis put together, and Peter does all sorts of things, but one of the things he's known for is founding the XPRIZE Foundation, I believe it is, where they give prizes, large prizes, for people to kind of compete to develop solutions to big issues. And he's really, you know, learning is something he's very focused on right now, because he thinks these technologies, particularly virtual reality and artificial intelligence, are really going to transform learning, what's possible with learning. And he looks at it as, you know, learning becoming as addictive as gaming is right now, because of how immersive and how personal it can be. And we'll link to that video. So, you know, you've definitely got this, you know, shift in the what do you need to be teaching based on how your field or industry is going to be changed by the introduction of these three technologies that we've been talking about? Are new jobs going to emerge that you need to provide training and education for? Are current jobs going to change significantly and you need to help people with that? You're now going to have the better tools for doing that than you've ever had before. And then I think it's worth, you know, pointing out too, I mean, if you're in this business, if you're in the business of lifelong learning, continuing education, and professional development, you should expect that your learners' expectations are going to be changing. I mean, they're experiencing all this stuff in one way or another, whether they're linking it to learning explicitly or not. So they're going to start thinking about, you know, wanting these more dynamic types of learning experiences that we're talking about. They're also going to be experiencing some of the pain out there in the job market that's potentially coming from this. Your competition's going to be looking at this. I mean, this is simply going to impact what gets offered out there in this business. So, you know, if you're forward thinking at all, if you want to be strategic about the future of your education business, you have to be tuning into this stuff. And that's a good segue into kind of a wrap up for this episode is, you know, if you are an organization, knowing these things are now out there, what should you be doing?
Well, so I think first and foremost, there's just the educating yourself, making sure that you are tuned in to what's happening in these arenas and in the technology, and aware of some of the applications of how it is being used now, so that then you can start thinking about how it applies specifically to your field or industry and to those learners that you serve. And Jeff, I know you have a practical recommendation that is one that you like to offer a lot in terms of how to move things forward.
Yeah, I think a theme you'll always hear from me is getting people into a room with a whiteboard and, you know, really thinking things through and capturing ideas, kind of, you know, the traditional brainstorming, but with a, you know, a real focus to it, and hopefully very productive. And in this case, I think it's really more about scenario planning as much as anything else. You know, so for example, you know, if you think about something like the Internet of Things, all of these different types of machines and devices being connected together out there in the world and generating all of this data. I mean, think about, you know, what that might help you learn about the field or industry that you serve, or about what the people you serve are doing, because that's going to inform, obviously, the types of learning experiences you need to create for them. You know, so for example, I mean, probably an easy one is, you know, if you are in manufacturing and increasingly all of those machines are hooked into the Internet of Things, so they're producing data that can be collected and aggregated and analyzed, you know, what does that tell you? What could that potentially tell you about, you know, how those machines might be used more effectively, about what workers might be doing better than they're doing right now? You know, that's just kind of a low-hanging fruit example. But for really, you know, same thing could apply in the medical world, for example. I mean, all of these devices that are now connected into patient care, you want to take the data you get off of those and then figure out, okay, what does that mean in terms of, you know, potential learning experiences, training interventions, things that seem to be, you know, emerging right now that people need to know about based on this data. There's a whole wealth that you could be working with to think about what you're going to deliver to your learners.
I was just reading about some of the sensor technology. So, you know, you'll have car insurance companies that if you can, they'll place a sensor in your car. And so they'll actually look at your driving data. You know, do you tend to speed? Do you brake hard? And then so they're actually able to then charge you a premium based on your actual behavior versus, you know, kind of taking a guess based on your age and where you live and how much you drive and all of that. So, you know, that's just one small example of, again, kind of what kind of data we might be getting from the Internet of Things. I mean, I think another area where you could focus on some scenario planning is just around, okay, so how we deliver education, what might we use among these technologies? What might actually make a better learning experience? Is there a way that we can begin to incorporate virtual reality? Is there a way that we can make use of artificial intelligence? And I know, you know, one example that I've seen is that, you know, there are virtual TAs and online courses now, you know, so you can take an artificial intelligence and you can have that person or that, you know, that intelligence responding to a lot of the questions, so that then you can kind of free up your human teaching assistants or your human professor for maybe some of those higher order levels of thinking. So just starting to think through, okay, what would it look like to begin to use some of these technologies? And, you know, it'll be probably along a continuum what you might begin to experiment with now versus what you might head towards over, you know, a 5-year plan. But, you know, to begin to think about that, I think has a lot of power.
Yeah, and I think that virtual reality may actually be the lowest hanging fruit here. You know, it's possible, even without a big budget, to at least dabble around a little bit with what's possible there. You know, you can get access to the platform. It's more of a platform, I think, than a language for Google Cardboard to actually create virtual reality type experiences. And then, you know, the mechanism for using those is the smartphone. You know, that is the tool. And of course, most of your learners are going to have that. So, you know, even for an organization that, you know, isn't necessarily in the big budget range, you know, to consider, okay, if we were to, you know, transport somebody virtually to a particular city or a particular job site or whatever the case might be, and give them a way to experience that more fully than they might, even through a video, you know, on the internet, that could be very valuable. And I think that's increasingly within the reach of even smaller organizations. And I think certainly larger organizations can definitely be looking at those types of technologies at this point.
And another idea for your scenario planning session there in a room with a whiteboard is to run what we're calling the automation test. So just think about what jobs or tasks in your industry or field, you know, might be replaced or significantly changed by the development of an artificial intelligence. You know, so looking at what might change or be replaced, but also then thinking about, okay, as a result of that, what new jobs might be created? And then thinking about those new jobs, the altered jobs, the jobs that have gone away, think about the impact then on your educational programs. What is it that you should be evolving towards as your overall offering?
Yeah, we're offering that as the last point here, but in many ways, it's probably the place where a lot of organizations should start. And I think it is very fruitful to have multiple people with multiple perspectives in the room for that. You might do it, you know, in conjunction with an annual meeting or something like that. So you also have volunteers, you know, people out in the field participating in it and, you know, really carving out a good chunk of time to think through in as much detail as you can what does it mean if, you know, these jobs go away or they have to be done in a significantly different way. And that has the potential to open up a lot of opportunities for an organization to really step out there and lead learning in the field or industry that they're serving, which of course is what this podcast is all about and why we wanted to discuss the Internet of Things, virtual reality, and artificial intelligence today.
And so as we're wrapping up, we will mention again the Leading Learning Symposium. You can get information about that at symposium.leadinglearning.com. And again, thanks to Naylor Learning Solutions for sponsoring this podcast episode.
To get show notes for this episode, and we will link to quite a few things that were mentioned during the episode, so we do encourage you to go visit. You can get those at leadinglearning.com/episode50. And while you're there, you'll see various options for subscribing to the podcast. And as always, we would really appreciate it that if you haven't subscribed already, if you would consider please doing that.
We would also appreciate it if you would take just a minute and give us a rating on iTunes. You can do that by going to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. And it does help make a world of difference in others finding the podcast. So we appreciate it. And the others who don't yet know about this podcast appreciate it.
And so also along those lines, please consider telling others about the podcast. And you can send out a tweet simply by going to leadinglearning.com/share. Or if you don't want to tweet, or if you want to do something in addition to tweeting, you can use any other social network and borrow some of the language we use in that automated tweet, or make up some language of your own just to tell people how great you think the Leading Learning Podcast is.
So thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.